translation. Always hungry, longing for sufficient food, poverty-stricken, man gradually becomes weaker and weaker. Having no extra potency, his senses are automatically pacified. A poverty-stricken man, therefore, is unable to perform harmful, envious activities. In other words, such a man automatically gains the results of the austerities and penances adopted voluntarily by saintly persons. Srila Prabhupada's purport. According to the opinion of experienced medical practitioners, diabetes is a result of voracious eating, and tuberculosis is a disease of under-eating. We should desire neither to be diabetic nor to be tuberculous. Yavad atha pariyajnam. We should eat frugally and keep the body fit for advancing in Krishna consciousness, as recommended elsewhere in the Srimad Bhagavatam 1.2.10. Kamasya inindriya priti labhya jivati yavata jivasya tatva jijnasa nato chena hau kamabhi. The real business of the human life is to keep oneself fit for advancement in self-realization. Human life is not meant for making the senses unnecessarily strong so that one suffers from diseases and one increases in an envious fighting spirit. In the age of Kali, however, human civilization is so misled that people are unnecessarily increasing in economic development, and as a result, they are opening more and more slaughterhouses, liquor shops and bottles. In this way, the whole civilization is being spoiled. So ask for the blessing of the Vaishnavas. I haven't given class for a long time. Hopefully by their mercy I can speak something. I'll speak on something about the age of Kali, because it's given in the purport. Why the age of Kali manifests. I got some notes on that. Then I'll... Okay. This is from the 11th canto. Chapter 30, text 5. So Prabhupada gives a little elaboration. So, Srila Vishwanatha Chakravarti Thakur has given a great amount of evidence from the Vedic literatures proving that the human-like form of the Personality of Godhead and His holy abode, paraphernalia and associates are all eternal spiritual manifestations without tinge of the material contamination. In this regard, the Acharya has further explained that because the living entities must suffer the reactions to their sinful activities, the Lord arranges for them to be punished during Kali Yuga. In other words, it is not Lord Krishna's desire that conditioned souls be sinful and suffer, but since they are already sinful, the Lord creates an appropriate age during which they can experience the bitter fruits of religiosity. Since Lord Krishna personally established religious principles in his various appearances in this material world, at the end of Dwapara Yuga, religion on the earth was overwhelmingly powerful. All the significant demons had been killed, the great sages, saints and devotees had been greatly encouraged, enlightened and fortified, and there was little scope for religion. Had Lord Krishna ascended to the spiritual sky in his spiritual body before the eyes of the world, it would have been very difficult for Kali Yuga to flourish. Lord Krishna left the world in exactly that way during his appearance as Ramachandra. And hundreds and thousands of years later, hundreds of millions of pious persons still discuss this wonderful pastime of the Lord. To pave the way for Kali Yuga, however, Lord Krishna left this world in a way that puzzles those who are not his staunch devotees. The eternal form of the Lord is described throughout Vedic literature, and this eternal form constitutes the highest understanding of the absolute truth according to all acharyas, including Shankaracharya, Chaitanya Mahaprabhu. Yet although Lord Krishna's eternal spiritual form is realized fact for advanced devotees. For those who are weak in Krishna consciousness, the inconceivable pastimes and plan of the Lord are sometimes hard to appreciate. It seems like from this purport how it's also mentioned in this is in connection with the 11th canto, Krishna Manam, Tushya Krishna, Sangha Panga Sapasanam, Yagya Santang Sangapriya, Yajanti Sumadisaha. That only those who are intelligent can appreciate the Lord Chaitanya Sankirtan movement. Those who are not intelligent, they cannot take to this chanting of holy name, which Lord Chaitanya is giving. And another point is one point I looked up was the power of blessings. It's very important that we go by what the acharyas say, like in Narottam Das Thakur in Prema Bhakti Chandrika, he says that one should avoid jnanis, thagis, yogis and mixed devotees. And always associated with advanced devotees. In this way, our advancement will be very fast in Krishna consciousness. So, this is by Govinda Das on his realization of Mahabharata and Ramayana. So, he gives some interesting points about blessings. He says, according to dharmic traditions, blessings are a word of inauspiciousness. Therefore, even the adharmic people from the Mahabharata had great faith in power of heartful blessings. Jarasandha, who was ambitious to be a king of the entire realm, would invite hundreds of brahmanas every day to bless him so as to remove his hurdles in his ambition. But before his blessings could fructify, Jarasandha lost his life when he was killed by the mighty Bhima, who had Krishna's blessings. Duryodhana went seeking his mother's blessings before the battle. Gandhari wished he would win, but she just could not bless him with victory. Blessings are reduced to simply wishing when the person who is blessed is undeserving and the person who blesses is unqualified to bless or is attached to the adharmic people. Like Dhritarashtra and Gandhari were vice versa Duryodhana. Moreover, a simple wish gets transformed into a blessing when the person who is at the receiving end deserving of it. When Bhishma and Dronacharya and Kripacharya blessed Yudhishthira before the battle, they did so helplessly because they were fighting for the wrong side. Their conscience gave them to choose but to bless him. Therefore, the Mahabharata can be considered as a war between the people who wish and those who bless, the undeserving and the deserving, the cursed and the blessed. Vedic wisdom therefore says if someone abuses the less privileged, the helpless, or the downtrodden, then the abusive people, however strong they may be, will down in the very tears of the abused. In the Ramayana, therefore, Mandori, while crying next to the dead body of her husband Ravana, said, "You haven't been killed by the arrows of Ram, but you have been drowned by the tears of Mother Sita. So let's not wish, but bless, because wishing belongs to the realm of fantasy and can just as easy turn into nightmare. But blessing is a vision when transformed into a substantial reality. Blessings means that you should become qualified to bless the deserving candidate. What do we want? Blessings or only wishes?" So that's why Prabhupada, he said, being with non-devotees is impossible, but being with devotees may be difficult, but one will carry on in his practices, because the blessings will come. But being with non-devotees is impossible, because they have their own personal agendas and they have no purpose to serve Krishna. So, although the Kali Yuga is an ocean of faults, it says, Kali dosa nidhe rajan asti ke mahagun kirtanayava Krishna sam muktam param prajat. That this age of Kali is an ocean of faults, but there is one good quality about it. It says that simply by chanting the Hare Krishna mantra, one can go back to Krishna in this lifetime. Connecting the health with the, it says in the proper about health, if one is moderate in his activities, his discipline is moderate, and he's taken to the chanting of Hare Krishna, then good health will come automatically. Because it says the holy name, it gets rid of all undesirable elements. And this is also the one of the advantages of taking to Krishna consciousness, because Lord Chaitanya has made it very easy that if someone takes to chanting very seriously, then everything auspicious will come in. So, I'll read something on the glories of the holy name in this connection to show how by taking to chanting one can counteract all inauspicious elements. This is from Prema Vivarta by Jagannanda Pandit. He's glorifying the holy name at the end, chapter 20. So, this is Krishna Das. Okay. The glories of the holy name. One day, Krishna Das broke his long silence and asked Lord Chaitanya a question in Kashi Mishra's house. If you will kindly permit me to ask you, please tell me about the unlimited and wonderful glories of the holy name, about which even Lord Shiva and Lord Brahma are unacquainted. Lord Chaitanya replied, the excellencies of the holy name are like an ever-expanding shoreless ocean. Even Lord Krishna himself does not know the limits of it. What to speak of ordinary mortals? I will simply repeat what is written in the scriptures. If you listen with proper faith, you can be delivered from this distressful, material world. The holy name is capable of dissolving sins and removing impediments. The holy name embalms sufferings and diminishes the detriments that are so characteristic of Kali Yuga. It redeems the unredeemable residents of hellish planets and nullifies the inevitable sinful reactions carried over from previous births. The holy name purifies offenses and is the quantum of all transcendental activities, shining more brilliantly than the Vedas. The scriptures declare that chanting is the highest spiritual activity, higher than making pilgrimages to the holiest of places. The holy name is omnipotent and benedicts the chanter with unimaginable good fortune. Its very nature is that it elevates one to experience divine bliss. Achanta is no ordinary person, for he becomes worthy of the entire world's praise. The holy name is the only means of salvation for all fallen conditioned souls. And it is always worshipable, for it offers much desirable liberation, exalts one to the supreme spiritual board, and blesses the chanter with transcendental love of Godhead. Sri Hari, the Shruti and Smriti contain countless proofs of the holy name's sublime position. It is the supreme destination of all spiritual aspirations and the mainstream of the current of bhakti, devotion, service. So there's quotes from the different scriptures showing the significance of the holy name. The holy name destroys all sins. One in the inherent characteristics of the holy name is that it destroys all sins. Here first the different authorities' conclusions on the subject. Take note of Ajamir, the example of a sinner who on his deathbed unconsciously called out Narayan, the Supreme Lord's name. The innumerable sins he had committed in countless lives were immediately dissolved. Ayam hi kita nivasyo janma kita anusyapi nyabeya pivasyo nama yasya avyaj hari. Srimad Bhagavatam 6:27. Ajamil had already atoned for all these sinful actions. Indeed, he had atoned not only for sins performed in one life, but for those performed in millions of lives. For in a helpless condition, he chanted the holy name of Narayan. Even though he did not chant purely, he chanted without offenses, and therefore he is now pure and eligible for liberation. The most heinous offenses like murdering women, a king, a cow, a brahmana, taking intoxicants, cohabiting with the guru's wife, betraying a friend, stealing, etc., all is condoned simply by chanting the holy name. Once one is purified of his sins, he becomes attracted to Lord Krishna. In this way, the holy name guides the living entities to his penultimate spiritual goal. Okay, I'll just read that translation easier. The chanting of the holy names of Lord Vishnu is the best process for atonement for a thief or gold or valuables, for a drunkard, for one who betrays a friend or relative, for one who kills a brahmana, for one who indulges in sex with the wife of his guru or another superior. It is also the best method for atonement for one who murders women, the king of his father, or for one who slaughters cows, for all other sinful men. Simply by chanting the holy name of Lord Vishnu, such sinful persons may attract his attention of the Supreme Lord, who therefore considers, because this man has chanted my holy name, my duty is to give him protection. So next point is, finances and vows are insignificant activities compared to chanting. Observing finances and vows like Chandradaya Vrata, strictly according to scripture injunctions, cannot completely eradicate the sins of a sinner commits. Yet by chanting Lord Krishna's name, even once, one becomes totally free from all sins. By following the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies or undergoing atonement, sinful men do not become purified as if by chanting once by the holy name of Lord Hari. Although rituals atonement may free one from all sinful reactions, it does not awaken devotional service, unlike the chanting of the Lord's names, which reminds one of the Lord's fame, qualities, attributes, pastimes and paraphernalia. Even if the holy name is chanted unconsciously, jokingly, simply by entertainment or neglectfully, the most grievous sins are absolved and he enters the spiritual realm of Vaikuntha, lying beyond the jurisdiction of Yamaraj, the god of death. So, just to back this up, I'll give a few references to point out from the Srimad Bhagavatam. But this is based on Prabhupada's purports in Srimad Bhagavatam, first canto. Sri Radha Gopalanda ki jai, Sri Tarmaksa Mamran ki, Gonitai ki jai. Lord Krishna is the supreme personality of Godhead. He is of infinite more powerful than the most powerful sun. Of our experience, millions and billions of suns are created by him and annihilated by him within his breathing period in the material world. The sun is considered to be the source of all productivity of the material energy. By looking at the beautiful, okay. And only due to the sun can we have the necessities of life. Therefore, during the personal presence of the Lord on the earth, all paraphernalia for our peace and prosperity, especially religiousness, knowledge, were all in full display. Because of the Lord's presence, just as there is a full flood of light in the presence of the glowing sun. So, there's a verse in the Chaitanya Charitamrita, it says, Krishna Maya Surya Adhikara Jahamaya Adhikara. That wherever there is Krishna, the sun is present. Wherever the Krishna is there's no question of darkness. Wherever there's the sun of Krishna is not there, then darkness comes in. So the human life gives us the opportunity to understand who Krishna is. There are 8,400,000 species of life, and the human life, especially civilized human life, is very rare. In this life, if we take to the practice of Krishna consciousness and we take it seriously, we can achieve perfection. Even the material world is part of Krishna's kingdom. It's part of it's like the prison house quarters of his kingdom. Srila Prabhupada, in one of his lectures, he explained how in the material world, people are always trying to achieve high positions. Example can be given. People want to work in government services because they get a high pay role, good position. But even all these things are all temporary. It's like being chained in iron chain, silver chain and gold chain. So one is chained down. One is not free to leave the cycle of birth, death, old, and disease. So if one connects to Krishna, then one gains the highest benefit. These other things in the material world are all temporary. It will bind one to the cycle of the miseries of life. There are three kinds of miseries: adiyatmik, adibhautik, and adidevik. Miseries by the body and mind, miseries by other living entities, and natural disturbances. So, we are in this particular Kali Yuga. We are blessed that it's a special Kali Yuga, which only comes within one day of Brahma, which is considered to. One day of Brahma is like 1,000 yuga cycles. So there's 4 yugas. There's a Kali Yuga, there's a Dwapara Yuga, Treta Yuga, and Satya Yuga. So the Kali Yuga lasts 432,000 years. The Dwapara Yuga lasts 464,000 years. The Treta Yuga lasts 1,296,000 years. And the Satya Yuga lasts 1,728,000 years. So 1,000 of these 4 yuga cycles equals to one day of Brahma, which comes to 4.23 billion years of earthy calculations. And within that one day, Lord Krishna is coming when Lord Krishna comes, Lord Chaitanya also comes. So in this way, we are in a very auspicious time period that the what austerities which others had to perform in previous times, our austerities are very reduced by mercy of Lord Chaitanya. And Srila Prabhupada has made it even easier for us. So we should consider this a blessing, that that taking to Krishna consciousness is the should be our goal in life. And okay, so I'll carry on with the glories of the holy name, and then I'll one who chants the holy name of the Lord, immediately freed from all reactions to unlimited sins, even if he chants indirectly to indicate something else, jokingly or musical entertainment, or even neglectfully, this is accepted by all learned scholars of the scriptures. If one chants the holy name of Hari and then dies because of accident, misfortune, such as falling from the top of a house, slipping and suffering broken bones while traveling on the road, or being bitten by a serpent, being afflicted with pain and high fever, or being injured by a weapon, one is immediately absolved from having to enter hellish life, even though he is sinful. As fire burns dry grass to ashes, so the holy name of the Lord, whether chanted knowingly or unknowingly, burns to ashes without fail all the reactions to one's sinful activities. The holy name is the only real friend of the living entity. By chanting the holy name of Govinda, Krishna, one very easily uproots all sinful reactions that have been accumulated not only in this lifetime, but also in those of many past lives which are yet to mature into fructification. An offense committed against a saintly person is a serious crime, and only by chanting the holy name of Krishna can one atone for it. The scriptures have amply described the various forms of prayer-citta rituals for atonement of sins. However, all of these rituals activities are inconsequential compared to chanting the holy name. The process of chanting the holy name has the power to eradicate all accumulated and sinful reactions, and much more, so much so that the holy name can absolve even more sinful reactions than one can at all capable of committing. It is impossible to commit such volumes of sinful reactivities in this age of Kali that cannot be eradicated by chanting the holy name of Govinda. The scriptures proclaim unequivocally that the holy name is the only cure for all diseases. O residents of Vrindavan, I say it is true. Trust me, just chant the holy name of Govinda, Achyutananda, and Krishna. Chant the holy name out of Madhusudan, feeling from the heart, with tears flowing from the eyes, and rid yourself of all material diseases and sufferings. Chanting the holy name constantly can purify even the most fallen sinner, and even after he becomes purified, he in turn is to be counted amongst the saintly persons who can purify others by his association. All dreadful fears and sufferings like severe sickness, the fear of capital punishment, etc., are easily quelled by chanting Lord Narayan's holy name. The chanting of the holy name drives away all diseases, sufferings, distressful conditions and inauspicious situations. As a strong wind disperses the clouds of gathering gloom and rising sun's first rays disperse darkness, similarly chanting of the holy name contravails against all calamities by its own unlimited potency. This is clearly explained by Srila Vyasadeva in Srimad Bhagavatam. When one properly glorifies the Supreme Personality of Godhead or simply hears about His power, the Lord immediately enters into the hearts and cleanses away every trace of misfortune, just as the sun removes the darkness or as a powerful wind drives away the clouds. The holy name of Vishnu, Krishna, possesses an inconceivable power and potency. By chanting the holy name, all evil spirits, ghosts, demons and monsters, etc., flee in fear, putting an end to the living entity's extreme tribulations. Chanting removes all inauspiciousness, tribulations, hunger, thirst, confusion and so on. After knowing all these facts about the holy, about the name's potency, if one is still in a doubt about its efficiency, then he will not achieve any success in chanting. Another esoteric point about the holy name the devotees must be aware of is that one receives the mercy of the holy name only by increasing one's faith and not by faithless doubting. I see that Kali Yuga is like a dark poisonous snake with a gaping mouth and fangs. But please be unperturbed, dear devotees, and listen with faith. Once the holy name of the Lord is being chanted, it is like an igniting forest fire, which will burn to ashes the poisonous snakes within the forest. In this dark age of Kali Yuga, sincere devotees of the Supreme Lord should leave aside all other means of liberation and take full shelter of the holy name. This is their real responsibility and duty. There is unlimited bliss in chanting the different names of Krishna, Hari, Keshava, Govinda, Vasudeva and Jagarmaya. For one who chants constantly with unflinching faith, he remains unaffected by reverses of Kali Yuga because his heart has been purified by chanting. An abominable sinner is fit resident of hell, can easily become a devotee of the Lord by chanting Krishna's name. Thus he can enter into the highest spiritual abode of the Lord. Parabdha, or unmanifested reactions of sinful activities committed in a previous life, can be counteracted only by means of chanting the holy name. This result cannot be achieved by pursuing speculative knowledge or performance of fruitive activity. In fact, it is impossible to break free from the entanglement of karma, results of actions, without the help of chanting process. Final liberation, therefore, is unattainable through other processes. The kind of liberation the holy name offers to the living entity will never again allow him to be induced to perform fruitive activities, but will rather make him transcend illusion and the three material modes. Therefore, one who desires freedom from material bondage should adopt the process of chanting and glorifying the name, fame, form and pastimes of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, at whose feet all of the holy places stand. One cannot derive the proper benefit from other methods, such as pious atonement, speculative knowledge, meditation and mystic yoga, because even after following such methods, one takes to fruitive activities, again unable to control his mind, which is contaminated by the base qualities of nature, namely passion and ignorance. If a person who is in a death stupor, suffering acutely in state of coma, somehow or constantly otherwise chants Krishna's names, the bonds of karmic reactions that bind him are severed and he attains supreme goal. In Kali Yuga, such a liberation is unobtainable by other methods. Terrified about to die, a man collapses on his bed. Although his voice is flattering and he is hardly conscious of what he is saying, if he utters the holy name of the Supreme Lord, he can be freed from the reactions of his fruitive work and achieve the supreme destination. But still, people in the age of Kali will not worship the Supreme Lord. The holy name should be chanted with sincere faith and devotion and without envy. Krishna then forgives all his countless offenses. As for the unfortunate soul who does not believe in the holy name, the gates of liberation remain always closed to him. Discrepancies that arise while pronouncing the Vedic hymns following regular principles or ritualistic activities in regard to time, place and paraphernalia are all rectified by chanting the holy name, and thus one experiences unlimited joy. Chanting is the most important of all spiritual activities, so if one takes shelter of the holy name, he will be automatically achieve perfection in all of the devotional endeavors. There may be discrepancies in pronouncing the mantras and observing the regular principles, and moreover, there may be discrepancies in regard to time, place and paraphernalia, but when your Lordship's holy name is chanted, everything becomes faultless. There's still more references to go. Shall I stop the class? Questions? Shall I continue? Questions? Any questions?